So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. I'm very happy to be here in Ljubljana. I came already this morning with Atria Garuda and very happy to come to a place where I remember many, many things. I have visited since many years. Some of you were, I believe, not yet born when I came here to Slovenia. And I'm very impressed by the developments. Especially, I'm very impressed by the lotus feet of Radharani and by Krishna. So such a good new thing in the temple. Today we will start a series of lectures which I intend to give during the time of this Radhastami festival. I will be with you every morning and evening except for tomorrow. Tomorrow evening we have a wonderful public program in the midst of the town about the civilization of compassion, but the hall is not yet full. We need to still fill it. And I wanted to ask you now and later if you can please invite your friends and drum a little on the drum. Civilization of compassion, very good, everyone come, like this. All right. When the idea was born that your temple would invite me to the Radhastami celebrations, we talked a lot with the responsible devotees and decided to make this a little festival. Now I heard that you just have done, I think, 10 festivals or so. I was seeing your poster and there were Jamashtami, Balaram's appearance day, doing Harinam in a very wonderful place in the Alps, and it was a festival. And I hope you're not tired from making a festival. Actually, in the spiritual world, we hear that every day is a festival. There is every day chanting and dancing and so on. And I think Ananda Prabhu wants to bring the spiritual world into the material world by making one festival without or behind each other, one after the other. Now, today I will try my best to tune you in for another, 4 days of festivals. It would be my dream if all of you come as often as possible to be recharged in your Krishna consciousness. This morning, this evening, I also do one festival after the other, traveling everywhere. So this evening, I brought a very serious subject. I came to remind you of a promise which you have given and which some of you are not keeping. Ooh. When someone gives a promise and does not keep it, he is a cheater. Heavy. My dear devotees, This is very serious. In the Bhagavatam, we hear about this promise which we have given long, long, long ago. It is described in the third canto of this great work, where we hear about the journey of the soul from one body to the next body, the circle of birth and death. Now, while the soul is in the womb of the mother, not yet born, not yet outside, there is a moment of clear consciousness which comes. It is a moment where everything is clear. You might remember these moments from your own life. There are sometimes moments where we seem to have a clear, unimpeded vision of reality, and all of a sudden everything is different. For instance, it does happen during moments in Kirtan, when we are absorbed in the holy name, and we seem to go above the clouds like an airplane which leaves the misty, foggy area and just pierces through the cloud and sees the sun and everything is bright. Or we see such a clear moment in our life when we are in the holy Dham, in Vrindavan Dham. For some, this clear moment comes at very difficult times. I have heard from Matajis who give birth to children that in the midst of the labor, you know, when they are really, oh, so much pain is around them and so much pressure is on them, and all of a sudden the baby comes out of the womb of the mother, and the mother describes, at that moment I could see that I'm a soul and this is a soul, and we are suffering because of forgetfulness, and everything was so clear. Or the moment of when a friend dies, all of a sudden we wake up, wow, he has gone and left me. He was not the body. He is an eternal soul, and so am I. You know, these clear moments, they are described in psychology, but I won't bore you with this today. There are like breakthrough moments, cutter something events, you know. And this happens at the time when the human soul is there in the body of the mother. And then the soul prays and prays to the Lord. And one of the prayers is a promise. Can I read this to you? But it might be very heavy, because you might be reminded of something which you have forgotten. No problem. Tasmadaham vigata viklava udarishya atmanam ashu tamasa suridatmanaiva buyo yata vyasanametat anekarandram mame bhavishyat upasadita Vishnupada. It comes from the womb, huh? Maybe we have a pregnant mother. here and the child is... Praying, yes, it is a very serious subject. Therefore, without being agitated anymore, I shall deliver myself now from the darkness of ignorance with the help of my friend, clear consciousness. You know, we spoke of this moment of clear consciousness. Simply, now comes the promise, simply by keeping the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu in my mind, I shall be saved from entering into the wombs of many mothers for repeated birth and death. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this is brought out a little bit more clear. It is said that there the soul says, I promise, my Lord, I promise, if you get me out of here, then I will become your servant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about this very nicely in a song. It is saying, Mulia tomara samsara asiya peyanana vi tabyata tomara charane adiyachiyami boli bhodukera koto. We have a Bengali here, we must say, not kata, but koto. Oh Lord, I forgot you. I came to this material world. Now let me tell you what I did. While I was in the unbearable situation of my mother's womb, O Lord, you once came to me briefly and then you went. At that moment I thought, after my birth I will worship you. But alas means how sad. After I took my birth, I fell into the entangling network of worldly illusions. Thus, I have not even a drop of true knowledge. So, here you hear, the living entity prays in this moment of clear consciousness, my Lord, I promise when I'm out of here, if I survive this, then I will take to your devotional service. But you know, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur described, he says his sad story. He came into this world. Sorry, that's how it normally sounds. And then the mother came, oh, don't worry, I'm with you, mother is here. And I was, the soul was drinking the milk from the mother. The relatives were so friendly, wow, little baby, maledetse, you can get anything you want if you just don't scream so loud. In this way, then the child thinks only of playing. Shankaracharya says, I can see this in where we live, in the Dharma castle, there are many children, and they play from morning till evening. And then when we grow up, the young boys, they only think of young women, and young women think only of young boys. And then when one is old, one laments that one has wasted his life. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is my sad story. I have to tell you honestly. This is what happened with my promise. I forgot. So it's very difficult to change the cause, or let me say, our material life is very, very difficult. I don't want to be so critical, but you know, this, when I came, I looked for a moment around and saw all these young enthusiastic bhaktas jumping up and down. And then I imagined myself in a time journey going 10 years on fast forward, and then looked around a second time, and most of them were not there any longer. There were politicians, circus artists, many things, but not devotees. Because it is very, very hard to remember and act upon this problem, promise. It's very difficult. His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj once gave an analogy where it was clear how difficult it is to change the cause of a conditioned soul. Do you understand the word the cause? What would be a good Slovenian word for the cause? The direction, yes. What? Yes. How would we say? Yes. That sound has a good sound, a ring to it. It's so difficult to change the smeared. Smear. The smear is so difficult. And he gave an analogy which I found was very nice and, believe it or not, very hope-giving. He spoke of these big oil tankers. Some of them are 1 kilometer long, you know, they are really long. 800, 900 meters. So if you want to change the smear of the oil tanker, it's not so easy. The oil tanker cannot just go like, and then go level like this. This may be possible for a small ship, but for a big oil tanker, it takes 10 kilometers to finally change the smear and go to another direction. However, it is possible. And it is possible by the help of a little blade, a rudder. The rudder is very, very small. Rudder? Who is from the ocean side? A rudder in a ship? You go like... What? Yeah, under the water. Yes. Kimino. That word. That's a little bit difficult. It is possible by this little thing. It's under the water. You cannot see it. So in the same way, it is very, very difficult to change the direction of our life permanently. I'm not speaking of new dresses, That's very easy. 20 euros and you look like a devotee. Very easy. But that doesn't change a lot, that if you just dress in new ways. To change the consciousness is similarly very easy by a little invisible rudder. It's called the yesnik, the tongue. Yesik, the yesik, yes, the yesik. By the yesik, it is possible to change your whole life. This is what Rupa Goswami expresses in his famous verse, Atasi Krishna Namadi. He says, we can become Krishna consciousness by using our tongue in chanting the holy name and also speaking about Krishna's form and pastimes and so on, and by eating only prasada. Perfection lies in your hand. You can change the smear of your life if you use that little rudder. It's also invisible most of the time. We don't see Gaur Govinda's tongue. It is not visible, but also your mouth is all closed. I cannot see one single tongue at this moment, but this little thing under the water or inside can also change our whole life. By the chanting of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has another song about this, where he puts a little light on this subject, changing our life by using the tongue. He says, there is a problem with this program. That is that because I have a disease called ignorance, I unfortunately cannot relish the sweet nectar of your holy name of Krishna. Because I have developed this addiction to worldly sense gratification. So there is a problem in this program, changing your life with your tongue, because we have taste for other things, but not so much for the holy name. Therefore, when we try to chant the holy name, we develop after some time this inattention. Have you seen that also in your life? One becomes inattentive somewhere else. One is no longer with the holy name. But then he gives us an analogy. I have this problem. I do not like to chant the holy name because I'm sick. And therefore I don't taste the sweetness of this. Ah! This is my problem. Here's the medicine, but I can't take it because it tastes so bitter for me. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a famous analogy. I think you all know it. He says, if a person has a problem, a disease called jaundice, it's a disease where you get all yellow, but you take sugar in big doses, you can cure your jaundice just with a simple natural medicine of sugar. In the beginning though, when you do this, it tastes bitter like hell. No problem. If you continue to take it patiently every day, after some time, the jaundice goes. I have this personal experience when I traveled through India in 1974. Yes, we traveled in the Himalaya regions with a big bus, and we had little concerts in the villages of the, it was very wonderful program. But unfortunately, I developed jaundice and I had to be left behind in some military camp. And I remember every morning when I came from my room to the river to wash myself, the people from the village saw me and they were shocked how yellow I was by the influence of the disease. It was like this wall, my whole body, and especially the eyes were all yellow. And they ran away. They thought, "Ooh, this is a dangerous man." I remember the medicine which was given to me was eating if I remember it now, I faint. Big bags like this of sugar, this much sugar a day, and it tasted bitter. But after doing this, let me say, this overdosing on sugar for 1 week, there was a clear overdoses, which would kill a normal human being, you know, but not a diseased jaundice patient. After doing this for only 1 week, the disease went away, my natural color came back, white like the page of a book, not yellow, and everything was all right. Still to this day I remembered it tasted very bitter in the beginning. So the scriptures, Rupa Goswami gives this example and Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes it up in this song. If I take every day the sugar sweet holy name with affection and with respect, not without any affection and without any respect, huh? Then, my Lord, my disease of avidya, of this big material problem will go. How great is my misfortune, he sings. Durdaiva. I feel no attraction for your holy name. O merciful Lord, in such a lamentable state, how will I be freed from another problem, that is committing the 10 offenses against the holy name? But then he gives this solution. Anudina jeno tovonoma goi kramete kripoyo tovo. If I sing your name every day, then gradually by your mercy the 10 offenses will disappear. Taste for your holy name will grow within me, and then even I shall relish the sweetness of the holy name. Even I. So this is the way how to keep your promise, my dear devotees. The promise to dedicate your life can only be kept when you have a pure heart. Only then you can become a devotee. If you purify your heart from this anyabhilashas, this other type of desires. As long as you have these material desires in your heart, your smear will go in one direction, will go to another death, another birth, another death in the future. But if you can somehow use that little, I don't want to show you the tongue, this little yesik, yesik. Yezik, yezik. Yes, yes. This tongue, this little rudder, and engage it in chanting the holy name, speaking about Krishna, and so on. You will enter another land, another world, even in this life, the world of Krishna consciousness. It's very, very important. Very important. This festival, which we have, which the devotees have planned for you, will have a lot of chanting. We will hear a lot about Krishna. We will have even a kirtan event, I believe, on Saturday. Is it Saturday? Saturday. And please take to the medicine. Take during these few days, you know, remove the thousand other things of your from your life, which are pushing you and governing your life and occupying your mind, and try to enter a deep application of Krishna consciousness, and you will see, you will change. There's a hope to start changing the course of the life, and to take a few inspirations with you, which will help you to live a more spiritually focused life, a life where you are more connected with Krishna. That is my request, really. Once Prabhupada was asked by a god brother of mine, how can we best chant? And Srila Prabhupada answered, well, you address Krishna just like you address me now. You address Krishna with his holy names, like we do this, where we say, Himanshu! And immediately Himanshu is, what is that? Yes, here I am. He feels immediately, there's immediately a connection established by calling a name, especially when you think of the person. So in that way, you should establish a connection with Krishna through his holy name. And another time, Prabhupada, in his very famous little speech on the holy name, said we should cry like a baby for the mother. You know, when the baby cries for the mother, there are two types of crying. One is the normal thing, which where the mother thinks, I can go on, you know. But when the child really means the mother, mama, and really has that urgency in the voice, then the mother will come to the child immediately. She will leave everything behind and will come and comfort her little boy or little girl. In the same way, when Krishna sees or hears us chanting in a way where we really address him, you know, with an urgent message, where we really want him in a really eager way, then he comes. He leaves everything behind, and he is there for us, and appears in our heart in a smiling form or in a comforting form, saying, I'm here. For every sincere chanting, you know, every sincere name, Hare Krishna, Lord Krishna says, here I am, I'm here. For every sincere chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna answers, I am here for you. Every time you sincerely chant, Krishna is there for you. This is the magic of chanting. Now, of course, when we chant in kirtan or japa, we should know that there are three types of relationships when we chant. One is a public relationship to Krishna, like when we sit with many devotees, there is a public dimension to it, and we may be a little reserved. Then we enter from the public relationship, where we think really about the others a lot, not so much about Krishna. We enter a more private relationship, and then from there we enter the intimate relationship. You know, when you chant, you also chant first officially around Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh yes, I have to do this. It's morning time, and so on. Or you are in the kirtan, and you participate in the kirtan in a more public way, you know, in a more formal way, in a more official way. But then you should be able to go a little deeper into the more private way, where you feel this is about a relationship with Krishna. And then when you even go deeper, my dear devotees, then comes an intimate way, just very personal, where Krishna appears to you first in the form of you know, just you remember something about Krishna. It just comes like this. You heard a lecture that Krishna has a peacock feather, and he walks a little bit like an elephant. You know, it means an elephant moves a little like this. So Krishna doesn't move straight like a German, but a little more playful. You hear this, and you remember this while you chant, and you may see it in your mind's eye, but as it becomes more intimate, you might feel Krishna's personal quality of being very merciful to his devotees in this world, and it becomes a very intimate, or let me say, a personal thing, personal affair. Yes, this is what you can feel in a chanting. My main point today is, and I don't want to divert from it, our promise. A promise made in clear consciousness when our mind was not yet full with a million of things and desires and anxieties and programs and thoughts and projections and illusions and all this what you can read in a dictionary of the mind, you know, but when we were in clear consciousness, then we thought this, when I come out, I will become your devotee. So this, we are here to remind you of this, and it will help all of us, including myself, very much to become mindful how we can reestablish this relationship, this broken relationship. It is done by affectionately and daily calling on Krishna's holy name. Haridas Thakur makes a very nice observation. He is talking about advancement. Would you like to know how you can measure your own advancement? Yeah. It's an interesting question. How do we know that it's going on with me, that I'm moving forward on this path? He says, you know it by this. How much am I attracted to Krishna's holy name? Gokovinda, you're looking at me with curious eyes. Yes, how am I attracted to the holy name? And the only way, when you find out I'm not yet so attracted to the holy name. Come to such events as the festivals which happened, the 11 festivals, and I hoped tomorrow, on the festival with Radhastami, you will also develop, you will get a blessing. There's one story which I want to tell you. I will tell it now, and I will tell it now. I will stop, tell it a little briefly. And Srila Jiva Goswami describes that in Vrindavan there was a marriage between Radha and Krishna. So on the day of the marriage, Srimati Radharani is still very joyful, and the parents are very joyful. But then comes the day which no one likes, where the bride leaves the home of the parents, her old home, and stays with the bridegroom just for a day. In the evening she returns to the house of her parents so that the separation is not so difficult. So in the morning Srimati Radharani left Vashana, and all the people of Vashana were standing on the street, and they looked how beautiful Radha was carried in a palanquin to Nandagram, and they all cried and cried. So when Radharani came to Nandagram, she saw a marble plaque on the door of Nandagram. It said, Nir Mola Mona Jana. This is how it started. Only those who are in their mind free from all contamination can attain me. I do not take pleasure in those who are cheaters. I do not like those who hurt others. Only those who are free from all contamination can attain me. Radha was reading this and then going into the home of Krishna. She spent a wonderful day with Nanda and Yashoda, who were so happy to have Srimati Radharani as her daughter-in-law. And they said, Lali, we are so happy that you came. Now our house is full of light. And they gave Radharani new dresses and new cloth, and it was very happy. So in the evening, she went back to Vashana, and all the people of Vashana who had cried in the morning, they were smiling and they were joyfully dancing on the street. And they had a festival in the evening. But during the festival, Radharani's father said to his wife, "Do you also see our Lali is different? Something is on her heart. It pains her." "Yes," said Kirtita, "something gives her worry." So in the evening, when everyone was gone, when all the Vashanavasis were gone, Kirtita and Brishabhanu Maharaj went into the room of Srimati Radharani. And Radha was sitting like this. She never sat like this in the evening, so straight. Vrishabhanu said, "What is giving your heart pain? Tell us, and we will solve it." Radha said, "Nothing, Father, nothing. It was very good in the house of Yashoda and Nanda." But then, again, Vrishabhanu Maharaj said, "I'm your father. I know everything. Tell me what is on your mind." Radha immediately broke down. She cried. She cried so much. She threw her hands around Maharaj Vrishabhanu. And she said, "Oh no, Father. When I came to the house of my beloved, I saw this plague that no one can attain him. No one can attain Krishna who's not free from all contaminations. But in the age of Kali, everyone is full of contamination. Everyone is disturbed. Everyone is crooked. Everyone is a cheater. Where is the hope for the people of the age of Kali?" And then she said, "Baba," means father, "you must give me a promise. No one can attain Krishna when they go to Nandagram. But anyone who comes to my town, Vashana, although he is a problematic soul, can attain me. This promise you must give because you are the king here." Vrishabhanu Maharaj said, "Tatastu, may that be." So by the mercy of Radharani, even those who are not yet 100% free from problems, they can attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, this festival is very nice. With these words, I want to end. I want to finish. I want to see if anyone... Oops, sorry. If any one of you has a question. Do you all understand my English? Is it all right? It's a little difficult. It's German English. It's mostly German with a little English accent. Not much English. So, yeah. Did you understand what I wanted to say? That there is something which we all have an urge, which even in the womb of the mother, a fortunate soul has given this with this promise, and it is not possible for us as long as we are in ignorance to keep this promise. But this ignorance can be removed if we turn to Krishna in what form? Holy name, you know everything. You remember the analogy of the ship, the tanker, who has that rudder? I could. Kirmilo. The Kirmilo. The Kirmilo. That's a simple, beautiful word. Like Kirmilo. It sounds like camel tea, isn't it? Not really. God. Kirmilo. Kirmilo. So I wish you all the best in your duhonaji, what? Oh no, this is Croatian language. In your spiritual life, I feel very happy to be with you a few days before I go to a festival in Russia with more than 5,000 people. It's at the Black Sea, and by Krishna's mercy, I am able to go there this year. Dobro. So, do you have any questions before you go to bed? Yes.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for your kind explanation. Your words are giving much hope to us. How can we not turn this hope into expectations, which seems to be quite a problem while addressing Krishna?
Yeah. Have you all understood the question?
No.
I have a lot microphone, I can say. Thank you for giving us hope. But how can we avoid hope turning into expectations? It is said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. You can also say, tell him your expectations. It never works out the way we expect. You can avoid this trap of making an expectation by just surrendering to Krishna your life and saying, my Lord, I give up my plans of I and mine. I put my life now into your hands. And when a devotee does this, he becomes free. He's a free person. But the moment you are still governed by your expectations, you are not free. I would like to give you an example. I want to say, Krishna comes to you always in a different way than you expect. And when you expect him to come in one way, you will not see the way in which he really comes. And I would like to give an example which I had in Australia. I was in Maya in Australia because I wanted to see a whale. Do you know what is a whale? Keet. Since I was a child, I wanted to see a keet, a whale. And then my opportunity came when I came to the Gold Coast. There are many keets and many whales. And one devotee said, my father has a boat. Would you like to go for whale watching? This is for tourists. They have this keet watching. They have boats, and you know. So I said, I don't like to go with the tourists, but this I like to go with the devotees. So we went for watching the keet. I remember we were passing by the light tower, and we had to give our identification to the coastal guard who was taking care that all the ships would return, even those who had an accident, they would be saved or rescued. So we had to say, we are so and so, we are now leaving the safe harbor, and we go for whale watching. Oh, good, said the coastal guard. Today is a brilliant day to do this. I wish you all good luck. So we went, but we didn't see a whale. It started to rain. No whale. For 1 hour, we looked. No whale. High waves, but no whale. And finally, I thought myself, I know it, whenever I'm in Maya, it doesn't work. For me, I just should chant and do kirtan and go on Harinam and book distribution, but not whale watching. After all, I'm a sannyasi. What do sannyasis do? Whale watching. Maya. So we went back, and we then had to again speak to the coastal guard. We are back. Oh God, did you see the whale? No. Well, there was a whale. The biggest whale was behind your boat, and he was extremely friendly. He felt attracted, I think. You could see so much, his whole colossal, massive body. Did you see? No. Oh, you guys, you must be blind. Do you have tomatoes on your eyes? The person said, no. And it was clear, I expected the whale to be in front of our boat, not behind. And because of the expectation, I never looked back. I thought, these all proper whales, who are not in Maya, will come in the front of the boat, no? Why should they be in the back? I only looked there, and everyone else on the boat looked in the front, because I preached to them. And this is, I'm telling it humorously, but this is what we do when we expect Krishna. We always look in one way. He should come in this and that way, and I should have a lot of taste. But Krishna gives you a lot of separation from him. And that's how he comes. He gives you something else than you expect. If you want to put the Lord into your own little box of expectations, he will always be somewhere else. Always. Because he's not... we are conditioned souls, and we are have conditioned perceptions and ideas. He is, I read this today in the Hansa Guha prayers, he's totally beyond your imaginations and so on. If you just learn Gaur Govinda, to not expect Krishna in one way to come and work, and look a little around in your life, you will see him in millions of ways coming to you. But you have to free yourself from this expectation. Hare Krishna. Hey, Mangshu. Hare Krishna.
When you were describing how difficult it is to change the course of your life, I was thinking about how sometimes devotees, when we're new, we have so much attachment and affection for the spiritual personalities that inspire us and guide us. But then, as we see, we also see this in Prabhupada's pastime. So many devotees who did so much service for Prabhupada were so attached to him. Then something happens and that affection goes away, and you turn against those persons you were very attached to, or maybe you just lose that connection. And, as a young aspiring devotee, we feel so scared when we see these things, and we think, maybe this will happen to me also, that those people who I'm really attached to and they inspire my spiritual life, that maybe something will happen and I will turn against them. I wonder how to avoid this, and what do you think causes this?
It's. Have you all understood the question? It's desires and expectations, this cocktail, so to say, or this mixture, which makes us turn against our well-wishers. We have other desires and other expectations, and at that moment our life becomes different from the life which we once admired. Our life becomes different from the life which we once aspired for. It's because of these desires which lead us away. and our expectations that those whom we love give us the candies which we want from them. That does happen. But when we return to our, let me say, old desires and old aspirations, I should say, when we return to them, at that moment we again return. And this is the beauty of Krishna and of truly great souls. When we return, long explanations on our side are necessary. When we return to Krishna and those who care for us genuinely, then no long explanations, no long Wiedergutmachung. That's a German word, I know. Recompensation and so on is required, because they understand that we are conditioned souls who are struggling on our path, and that we are sometimes overwhelmed by the big wave of life with other desires and other aspirations. That's the beauty. Have you ever noticed this in Krishna? When Krishna sees someone or sees us returning, he's immediately there for us. We have been maybe a little unmindful of him. We have been a little forgetful. But when we turn or return to him, immediately he's there, because he is full of forgiveness. I think this quality, we should exercise this quality of with the devotees who had a difficult time, who maybe took a different course in their life, who may have left Krishna consciousness perhaps for some time. We should not be judgmental towards them. It's out of great difficulty where they do it. I do remember that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to not judge those disciples who left him, but he cried for them. No, he was not judgmental. He cared for them so much that he cried. And I think if this caring atmosphere comes into our movement, then it is a more attractive place for many devotees. But if this judgmental atmosphere, I do not know if you understand judgmental, what is the word in English? If that is there, yes, not so easy. Like the Kadambakanana Maharaj's example with the boat, to really change it. Change the course, but you know, to change the course of our life, it's not a matter of dress and hair and frisura. It goes much, much, much deeper. Goes into the deepest area of our personality. Yeah, who else? Yes, Audarya Chandrika. Hare Krishna.
When you said about the promise which we give to the clear moment about our clear consciousness, isn't there also such a big pain which we experience that we forgot about that promise?
Yeah. Audaya Chandrika has asked the question, when we forget our promise, isn't that also due to a big pain? I want to, because you are an older devotee, want to say, Jiva Goswami discusses this, that this promise is given by souls who are very fortunate, not everyone. But everyone is who is a devotee has these moments of clear consciousness, and although they may not have that, may not have had this consciousness in the womb of their mother, I felt during the course of their lives they have this moment that, oh, we see everything again. So not everyone has promised as an embryo, but at some time later, I think those who are devotees must have had the clear consciousness, otherwise they could not have made the decision to become Krishna's servants. So your question, I just wanted to, because many devotees also, older devotees listen to this, and should be something new for them, and I wanted to bring this Jiva Goswami's point from the Sandavas here. But yes, your question is different. You want to know, you want to say that due to pain in our life we can forget this consciousness, this is our spiritual consciousness, and that's true. It is said, by the experience of pain, our consciousness shrinks. You know what shrinking means? If you have a pullover and give it to the new bhakta to wash, you will get it back, and then you can give it to the children in Krishna consciousness, because they have washed it too hot, you know. So it shrinks. You know, I've lost about maybe 20 good pullovers in 40 years, you know. First I did it myself and I didn't know. I'm just washing and it comes back so small. What happened? So the pain is like hot water. It makes our consciousness become very small. And when we have so much pain, all we can think about is, how do I get out of this pain? Have you seen this when you have physical pain, that all what you care about is, I need to, this cut now in my finger, I need to do something about it. It says, when a man gets hemorrhoids, then all he can think about is this part of the body which we never think about as cultured people, you know, hemorrhoids, geese, do you know what that is? Yeah. Krishna. All you think about. There is a joke in India about a yogi who flies, and someone comes to him and says, "Oh, Yogi Maharaj, you are flying very nicely due to your mystical potencies." And he says, "No, I just have hemorrhoids." You know, joke, Indian joke. You know, Hare Krishna. This is the power of pain. When a person has pain, is overwhelmed by pain, he only can think of how to take care of this pain. That's what happens in his consciousness. And Audaya Chandika, do you know why there are hellish planets? They are there because there's so much pain inflicted on the consciousness to sinful people, so that their consciousness shrinks and fits into the body of a bear or a fox or a mice, or an insect. It's for that reason that the pain is there. Otherwise, how could you, you know, after you have only a month ago you had read Shakespeare and were a big intellectual, and then you die and you find yourself in a mice body. If you don't forget the things, you know, then you can't exist there. You can't run after the things which mice run after. So consciousness is shrunken by pain. And you are true. When a person experiences so much pain, he just has a difficulty to focus on spiritual life. But do you know what, Adaya Chandika? When the pain comes to a level of being intolerable, then the shifts. And he takes shelter in Krishna. Because he realizes there is no shelter in modern medicine, there is no shelter in money, there is no, and so on. But still, we don't wish anyone to have that type of pain where it happens. I think it is very important to help devotees or spiritual people to lose that pain. And I think coaching like you do and counseling devotees can help them to untangle the knot of pain in their heart. It can help. It can definitely help. I once wrote a poem, a long poem. It's called Dear Teacher Pain. And I wrote it after a big, after a time of really a lot of physical pain. It was towards the end of that period. Mm-hmm. Dear Teacher Pain, finally I understand your lessons.